Welcome, dear listeners, to episode 33 of F1 Philosophy, where speed meets the surreal and rubber meets the runway under the neon glow of the Nevada night. Picture it, a relentless roar echoing down the strip, engines growling like a pack of wild beasts on the hunt, heat rising from the asphalt in psychedelic waves. The Vegas Grand Prix is not merely a race. It is a hedonistic plunge into the absurd, a high-octane fear and loathing spectacle, where reality blurs faster than the blurred lights of the casinos. In the tradition of Thompson's gonzo journalism, we'll navigate the chaos and carnage where racers like modern-day prophets push the limits of sanity in pursuit of glory and survival. Speed, like a potent cocktail, intoxicates, while the desert air crackles with the electric tension of dreams and nightmares in equal measure. So fasten your seatbelts and abandon conventional wisdom as we dive into the madness. This is no place for the faint of heart, for in Las Vegas, fortunes are made and lost in the blink of an eye. And in this episode, we'll explore what separates the myth from the miracle beneath the sparkling desert sky. Now, on to the work at hand, a few formalities, if you will. You may find us on YouTube at F1 Philosophy, on Instagram at F1_philosophy, and finally, drop us a line at F1philosophypod@gmail.com to join our ever-entertaining fantasy league.
I knew it, Producer Gatsby. I was always wondering how you were getting so much smarter, and you just let it slip. You've been taking psychedelic mushrooms and growing your brain, haven't you?
Clearly while reading Hunter S. Thompson.
Mm-hmm. He couldn't help himself, right? Las Vegas, he just had to read up on Thompson while taking shrooms.
Why not?
Gatsby, were you at the first Grand Prix last year? I remember you saying Gatsby was missing this time last year.
Probably.
Yep. Well, good job as always, Producer Gatsby. We don't have much to talk about today, but I feel like the stuff we do have to talk about is going to be, explosive. Because we do have some big topics coming up. So you and I have to finish up our discussion from the news in Brazil, which is Gabriel Bortoleto joining Sauber and all the ramifications on the driver market we saw there. Rest in peace, Valtteri Bottas. And we're going to give our Vegas predictions as well. And there's a lot of news going around that Sean just updated me on, and we're going to talk about it. But yeah, we'll get to that eventually. When I went solo, I talked about how I was very happy to see Bortoleto join Sauber. I feel like it's about time that the F2 champion got his chance in F1. Because it was about to be 3 in a row if he didn't sign.
He's not the champion yet, though.
I guess he's the leader, technically. But Isaac Hadjar is hell-bent on throwing away this championship. Who, 2 sprints and 2 feature races, has not scored a point.
Sure.
In a row. So we can say he's champion-elect at the moment. But it's close. It's only 4.5 points, right? Or something like that.
Yeah, I forget what it is, but it is close.
It's very close, yeah. Anyways, the point is, the one who's doing the best in F2 should get his chance in F1. So,
By the conventional metrics, yes.
Correct. And there may be reasons as to why that's not always the best metric. I think you went into it with me last weekend, off the microphone, obviously. We had our best conversation in a while, not recorded, about why F2 sometimes is harder on certain drivers, and when they have more confidence in F1, they're able to perform better because the ground effect. Do you want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah, my theory, and this is just a theory, is that while F1 and F2 are both ground effect cars, the level to which they generate downforce is drastically different, and the power available to them is drastically different. So in F2, where you have 400 horsepower or something like that, going to a spec car where the teams aren't constantly developing the aerodynamics, you're going to get a finite amount of downforce, effectively. The speeds aren't as fast, so drag squares with speed. Drag and downforce in these cases go hand in hand. So it stands to reason the faster you go, the more downforce you get. But also, because the F1 teams are developing constantly, they're constantly in the search of trying to add more downforce or make it more efficient. So what I was saying to you is I think there's a trade-off where the F1 cars are potentially easier to drive. They feel the same. The feedback is the same. The ground effect is the same. But they're potentially easier to feel more confident in because they have such a high level of downforce. It breeds more confidence than the F2 car, which may not be at the same level relative to its power.
Which is why a lot of teams think like Oliver Bierman or Jack Doohan or Antonelli, they may not be well suited to F2 because they just essentially need more power. I think that's their thesis.
I wouldn't call it power. I'd say it's confidence. They need more confidence in the car, and the better downforce packages and more power give them that confidence.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to comment on that. I think that's a great explanation what you gave, but I think at this point we will see if their thesis is correct. I think that's all we can say. We've hashed out Antonelli, Bearman, Doohan. Who's the other one? Who's the other rookie that's coming next year? Oh, yeah, Bortoleto. We're about to hash out now.
Yeah.
And it looks like Lawson is a lock to be at VCARB, potentially five. And we're going to talk about someone else later potentially could be a sixth. So, yeah.
So before we get into that, you mentioned Lawson, and he had another stupid comment. He made a comment about there is no good analog to F1 in the feeder series. None of the cars along the way have been accurate enough representations of an F1 car, and that's why the young drivers aren't prepared. Which I don't know that he's qualified to make that statement, because when was the last time he drove a feeder series car?
Exactly. I think it's 2022.
Yeah,
he might have been there. Yeah, because 2023, he was in Super Formula.
Yes, exactly. And Super Formula, again, is not a ground effect car.
No.
So he really doesn't have anything to stand on as far as the new feeder series, right? Because obviously they've gone to ground effect cars now. So I think it's another example of just stop talking, Liam.
Yeah. Everybody, like, this is something I've talked about a lot, about how the media just overhypes certain people, and the point system doesn't help because the media can just have the headline, you know, points finisher, point scorer, and it gives, I think, these young drivers a confidence that they don't necessarily deserve, I guess is the right word. You know, they need to reevaluate their, how do I say this? Market forces need to be changed, essentially, to define what a better driver is. Because we're getting out of whack metrics to justify certain drivers while keeping other drivers out. And Liam has a confidence that is not necessarily... It doesn't mean he's going to be a great driver. He has 3 ninth places in 9 races. No, he did 5 plus 6 in 11 races. And that's great for what VCARB is. But it's nothing exceptional. But he's told, hey, you're there. There's something there in you. And anyways, I've gone off on this a million times. Bortoleto, unless you want to add one more thing.
I do want to add one more thing. I just want to give you some credit. I was bored the other day and feeling a little masochistic, I guess. So I listened to your Knicks news against my better judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't bad. You did a good job.
What?
As far as keeping yourself in check for about 3/4 of it.
And then I went off on Nico Hülkenberg.
The end was a little hard to listen to. But the majority of it, I would say you're getting better.
Thank you.
We may be on the path to rehabilitation.
I think that's a lost cause, but thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, even as I'm talking, I think I said it at one point, I muttered it, and I was like, what am I doing talking about this guy?
Yeah.
I just think he perfectly represents an out-of-whack market, right? You and I talked about a few minutes ago, right before we got on here, about how Jordan and Coulthard, in their Formula for Success episode this week, talked about how Bottas, Ricciardo, Perez have had their time. They're old. They're not fast anymore. It's time to move out of the way for the younger drivers. They're even saying, yeah, the only reason Alonso and Hamilton are there is because of their championships. But then they praise Nico Hülkenberg 5 minutes later. And we're like, if anyone's an old driver who's past his time, right? This is not to make fun of Nico. I want to say something here right now. I have no hatred for the guy. I just think he's a representation of what I find wrong. And so I use his name more than I should. And our idea of what a good driver is out of whack because of a lot of media personas like them who overlook drivers like him or overvalue drivers like him and undervalue other drivers.
Yeah.
Like, why is Nyck de Vries out of this sport after 10 races when he was around where Nico Hülkenberg was finishing almost every race?
Nyck de Vries was in a McLaren last week.
Interesting.
Don't know what that means. But they were running a ground effect McLaren somewhere in Europe, and Nyck de Vries was in it.
And he probably did great, for all we know.
Yeah, who knows?
Anyways, obviously we got off topic.
Yes.
But no, it was a good point about Lawson. Keep it down. Just keep it down is what I'll say.
Exactly.
Bortoleto, though. So like I said, I went off on Nick's news, as you heard, about him. I think it's great. I'm happy for him. I think there are other drivers a problem. What do you think about Bortoleto at Sauber?
I don't know that he was the choice. I think it's great for him as a racing driver. That's obviously what he wanted, was to get into F1. He was in the McLaren Junior Racing Program. And we've seen what they can do. Right? They have Lando Norris. They stole Oscar Piastri, but that's one thing. McLaren is a team that isn't afraid to use younger talent. So I feel like if he had put his head down, won the F2 championship, been willing to take a reserve role or go to Indy or Super Formula, maybe that was an option for next year. I don't know. He potentially could have been in that car in a year or two in the McLaren. He went to Sauber, which is looking like they're not going to score a single point. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say next year is probably not any better.
Oh, they've admitted next year's going to be worse. They're pushing for 2026 at this point. They are now the new Haas.
Right. So when we have a 10-time Grand Prix winner in Valtteri Bottas who can't do anything at all with that car, and it's not because he's gotten worse. The car is legitimately bad. You're putting an untested rookie in there, which can be good, absolutely, because it doesn't put the pressure on them. Right, like we saw with Charles Leclerc, no pressure, and he performed really well at Sauber. So maybe that works for Gabriel Bortoleto. But at the same time, it could simply bury him there. If he starts performing like Zhou and not moving, then he falls into the Felipe Nasr, Pascal Wehrlein, Marcus Ericsson camp. Arguably potentially good drivers, no chance to see them move forward because the machinery they're in is garbage.
Yeah, garbage. Or I think, where was Nasr? Nasr was in like a defunct team. It was going bankrupt, if I'm not mistaken. It was like at the old Lotus or like or a Caterham or something silly.
Manor.
Manor, yeah, exactly. So
the Manor, yeah, he was, what was it? He actually destroyed his own career, not intentionally. I forget what the, he was in Sauber and had a contract to race for Manor the following year, I believe, or it might be the other way around. Ended up scoring a point and Manor slid down the championship standings, which then lost them prize money, which then caused them to not be able to compete the next year.
Oh, shit.
So he had a contract, and then him scoring a point actually screwed the team, and then the team went under and he didn't have a place to go.
How does scoring a point screw the team? Like if they got zero, they would have been subsidized or something like that?
Yeah, I forget exactly the detail of it, but I believe they were with, he was with Sauber, and Sauber and Manor were at the bottom of the Constructors' Championship. So Sauber leapfrogged Manor with that one point that he scored, and that caused Manor to hit last place instead of Sauber, which meant they got less money, and that was not enough money for them to go racing the next year.
Doing your job got you fired. That's pretty funny. But yeah, I understand the reservations with Bortoletto, right? Like, yeah, if Bottas can't do it, this kid definitely should not be expected to do anything. And I think maybe that's his calculus, is that if I can aim for 1 point and get 1 point next season, I'll look like a genius.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as you said, if they gave up, they've basically given up since mid-2022. There's been no development in that car since mid-2022. They're just sort of subsiding on little money.
Yep.
And little development. And yeah, Zhou can't do anything with the car. He never really could do much, I don't think. But if Bottas, who people need to remember, came in 2022 and scored the most points they've gotten in a while by himself.
Yes.
It was like 48 points in like six races.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe 10 races or something, and then they just stopped developing the car.
Right. With a Ferrari engine that wasn't great, in a car that didn't share any of the Ferrari DNA like the Haas does, and arguably wasn't great, like you said, and he was able to score a decent amount of points, given the circumstances.
For a while, he was outscoring Mercedes.
Right, and that started the backslide into obscurity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obviously, I think in your mind, should not have gotten rid of him, especially if there's other drivers. Hulkenberg, I understand they have a probably an obligation to have a German driver.
With Audi, yes, I would assume that is one of the stipulations. So at this point, it's Hulkenberg or Schumacher.
Yeah, or I thought Vettel would be very smart to go there.
Everybody wants that to happen. I think the most we're going to get out of Vettel is a WEC, or not even full WEC season, a Le Mans drive with Porsche.
Yeah, and that's fine. He's retired. He says he's not that hungry anymore. He probably doesn't want to be on the grid as much as he used to. I think everybody wanted it because they wanted him to follow in the footsteps of Michael Schumacher, which would have been exactly that by joining Audi next year, I think, because that would be 3 years out of the sport.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, but I've already said this. Bottas did not deserve to be dropped over Hulkenberg. I like that Bortoletto's being given that chance. I understand the reservations. This could be a Mick Schumacher situation where he might look good next year, and then the second he makes a mistake, they lose patience with him. And it's just a crappy situation in the sense that you had it so easy the first year to just help develop, but then the second you don't make that leap, you've screwed yourself.
Yeah.
Bortoletto, it could be something like that with Bortoletto, but Binotto's also talked down their 2026 aspirations or with the level they're going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have two full years to just dick around and iron out all of his kinks or wrinkles.
Yeah, exactly.
Binotto did say something interesting, though, in all of this. He said, between Bortoletto and Schumacher, I wish I had both. And the race posted this. The race posted their synopsis of Bottas and Zhou being dropped, and everybody is unanimously agreeing Zhou needs to be gone. But they said about Bottas, they kind of wanted to keep him too. And they explored buying out Hülkenberg.
I did read an article where they were implying that Binotto did not want Hülkenberg.
Yes.
But that decision was made before he was in the team.
Exactly. And for 3 years for a lot more money.
Yes.
I think he sees through Hülkenberg. I really think he does. I think we're going to see the real media landscape on Nico Hülkenberg next year.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see, because I think Hulkenberg's contract, you said, is 3 years, right?
Ridiculous. I thought it was a 1+1. It's a 2+1, or I think it might even be guaranteed 3.
Yeah, so it's basically getting him 1 year at Audi.
Yeah, so then no. It is a +1.
Sorry, 2 years at Audi.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because
yeah.
He's starting next year in Sauber, right?
So yes.
26, Audi will be there. Yeah, so it might be a 1 year guaranteed at Audi with a 1 year extension possibility. But do we have any Germans on the way up? I think in F3 there's one, maybe two.
With like a random Serbian name or English name or something. Something random like that. I remember looking through the list the other day with a German flag. I'm like, he's German?
Yeah. I know Sophia Florisch is there in F3. She's German.
Hey, it'll be a completely, almost a different decade. We'll be approaching the 2030s. They would probably, if they're hopeless or they're ironing out things, they would be astute to sign a woman and be the first team to sign a woman. You know what I mean? Like in the sense that you become, that becomes the story.
Sure.
Get more sponsorship in that way. They're going to have to scrounge like Steiner to keep money in this team, I have a feeling, for a few years.
Did you not hear?
Please tell me Günther Steiner's not coming to Audi.
No. Audi is already looking at selling a large shareholder portion of the Sauber team.
That means they're worried about finances.
Potentially. It could just be that the fact that the Volkswagen Group, which obviously encompasses Audi, is in a really shitty situation, and they are looking at selling manufacturing facilities in Europe for the first time since the 1950s.
Wow.
They're closing, I believe it's 2 facilities in Belgium that make electric cars for them. Wow. So they're not doing well. They'll be fine. Nobody needs to worry about Volkswagen. But it definitely is a sign that maybe if we're closing plants and laying thousands of people off, F1 isn't the greatest thing. So don't get too excited. They're still going to be there. They've still committed to being in F1. As part of investigating sustainable technologies. The group that they're looking to sell the shareholder position to is Qatar. Which, coincidentally, owns something like 20 or 30% of Audi.
Vag is getting wet for the Emiratis. Okay.
He didn't have to be so vulgar.
I mean, splashing the cash. That's what I meant by wet. Right? You and I had a field day when they became Volkswagen Auto Group, I think in 2008, right? Around that time?
I don't know that it was then. I think that's when I first told you about the communications tools that they have.
Yes.
And yeah, the big black box that says VAGCOM on it.
And you and I came up with their slogan, the slogan for Lamborghini, which is Lamborghini, the biggest in badge. Anyways, we're getting off.
We're 12 years older.
we were still in our 20s. anyways, I think he will be exposed next year by Benotto. Benotto doesn't seem to have the patience for this stuff. He's actually trying to rebuild this team. You brought this up to me in 2023 that it seemed like Audi did not really seem as interested as originally thought to come into F1.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's becoming pretty clear, like, decisions that were made in the past are suddenly being negated. They weren't taking it seriously. I think they thought it would be a lot easier.
Yeah, and this, I think, is part of the sunk cost fallacy.
Yes.
They've bought in and they've agreed to go into F1. And the guy that headed that business case is no longer with Audi. And they've looked at it and went, well, shit, we've already spent a ton of money on it. We can't back out.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're cluing in that, well, maybe we don't have to back out. Maybe we just have to divest ourselves from it and find somebody to assist.
Mm. Yeah, and teams grow, teams evolve, teams even reach the verge of bankruptcy. Like, Audi, I think, has to realize it is going to be a big journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to, you're not going to come flying out of the gate, which is fine.
Yeah.
Look at Haas. That's the other one. Like, look at Haas. Look at, the future seems so bright now.
Yeah. I mean, it is important to note, too, that this is not unusual. All right. Saudi Arabia, through Aramco, owns part of Aston Martin. And the Bahrain Wealth Management Group, which is the Bahrainis, own part of McLaren.
Yes. Yeah, that's this year, right? That happened?
No, that's been a long time.
Oh, okay. Anyways, yeah. Go on. Yeah.
So it's not unusual for stuff like this to happen. And yes, they are Middle Eastern oil-rich companies or countries because it's the country and, you know, the leaders that are buying this out. So it's not unusual. It doesn't surprise me. It's just a piece of news.
What is your thought? How let's declare it now. Hulkenberg, over under 2 years of his contract, he sees up. I'm going under. I think next year is the only year. And I think, and we could maybe put that clock on Bortoleto too.
I'm going to go over.
Interesting.
Because I think Binotto gets overruled by the German board. Without a viable German talent, I don't think they get rid of him.
Yeah, and no one wants to take a chance on Mick. It's pretty clear. So yeah, maybe that's a good point. I think, in terms of media, Hulkenberg's reputation is done by the end of next year. He will be circling the wagon like a Bottas. Or a Ricardo or a Perez,
yeah,
something similar like that will happen. I will guarantee that. I'd like to think he only sees out 1 year of his contract, but you just brought up a good point. All right, anything else you want to say about Sauber?
I thought we were talking about Gabriel Bortoleto.
And Bortoleto, yeah.
No, I hope he comes in and I hope he does good. Other than that, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Wrong team.
Yeah, I said that solo. He deserved the pick of the litter.
He had McLaren, right? The thing that irritated me about this is that McLaren let him go.
Hmm.
Apparently, McLaren didn't even put up a fuss, didn't ask for anything as part of his contract. They just let him go. They're not renting him out.
Yeah, that is foolish.
It's either foolish or it tells you a lot about what they think his opportunity is.
Yeah, but when you're rich with Piastri and Norris,
you never know when they're going to go.
Are they? Because, like, I know a guy I talked about, LaVies, so talked about potentially they might lose both at the end of 2026.
Well, that's what I mean. You never know when they're going to go, so why would you risk getting rid of your potentially good rookie?
Could be, but it could be a Sainz situation in the sense that, okay, yeah, you're gone. but you can always come back. Right? Like,
unless for some reason Audi gets really good right off the bat, and then why would he come back?
Yeah, I that's a good point, but I mean from the sense of McLaren, like, hey, I know we let you go, but we're kind of short drivers right now and you're doing okay. Want to come back? If they lose Piastri and Norris?
No, but that's what I mean. If Audi does good and Gabriel Bortoleto's doing good, why would he want to go back? They haven't optioned him to Audi. They've simply cut his contract and let him go.
So McLaren is not looking at all angles, is what you're saying. They're just assuming this is going to be the rank and file.
Yeah, you can say it like that.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't say much, but I know a lot of like I said, the market's out of whack with drivers. He might be better than they think he is.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know. I have nothing else to say about that. But in talking with you just now, I remember there was a big piece of news. Andretti is on the footsteps of joining F1. Have you seen this?
I have.
About fucking time.
Did you hear the reasons why?
Well, from what I gathered, it's that thank God Michael Andretti's stepped back a little bit, and now we'll make your demands a little bit easier, essentially.
Yeah.
Which is so nonsense, right? Like, you can't just have a vendetta against one guy and keep a potentially very rich team, all the sponsorship, more drivers, more value. They're saying, he won't bring value with Sauber, Alpine, Williams, and Haas before the beginning of this year being in the league.
Yeah, and I think potentially what's happened here is GM expressed interest. So everybody is excited about GM. They're not excited about Andretti, because I think Andretti has a big personality and he's a brash American.
Zach Brown.
And he's not going to give in to what the Europeans want.
Zach Brown.
But why put up with another one?
Fair, fair. Sorry, I'm not trying to stop your train of thought. I'm just trying to...
No, I know. So I think what happened here is GM decided to go and then got excited about it. And then when there was a real possibility that they were not going to be able to do it because they would not have a base to learn from in Andretti, because nobody else has agreed to partner with them, they started playing the politic game.
Mm.
And they started getting involved with the F1 paddock and trying to nudge Andretti into, we need to go, we want to get you in, but you can't be it. It cannot be you.
But they're still going to be called Andretti Cadillac, are they not?
Yeah, it will be Andretti Worldwide, because that is the team, but Michael will not be running it. I forget what the guy's name is.
Yeah, I can picture him now, but yeah.
But he will be the guy, right? So this might be a Haas type situation where you have a team principal who is not Haas, and Haas isn't involved except for financing.
Hmm.
So Andretti's name is on it. They've got the facility. They've got the racing expertise in the area. But Michael Andretti is not on the grid every week.
For now. For now. Eventually, like, time heals all. And whatever vendetta this Formula One had with the Andrettis will eventually go away.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and listen, I don't care what it had to be, what they had to do just to get in. I'm just happy they're getting in.
Yeah. What I'm interested in is this all comes very quickly now, and they're talking about within weeks we'll have an answer.
Wow.
I'm wondering if this has to do with Renault shutting down their engine program.
Explain yourself.
GM is focused on 2028. That's when they've said we will have an engine ready, according to the new regulations. I'm wondering if Andretti is coming in 2026, if Cadillac doesn't buy the IP to the Renault engine, fund Renault's F1 ambitions through that, right? Because Renault stands to make tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions, off of selling a bad engine, right, to GM, simply to get GM on the grid with Andretti 2026.
Will GM and Cadillac use the majority of that Renault engine? Or will they just take the infrastructure and use their whatever engine they have at the moment?
My thinking is 26 to 28. It's run the Viray facility the way it has been run under Alpine as a GM-managed project. So it will be that engine. It will be down on power. It will not be competitive. But that's what they're going to do to get the name in there, to guarantee that Andretti is there, so that in 2028, they have somewhere to start.
Okay. Suffer for a few years. Audi's probably going through the same thing. Why not? You know, it still works.
Yeah. Now, it will not be the same engine that it is today, right? And I think I may have misspoken just now, because it's not the engine they're running now. It's the engine they've been developing for 26, which apparently Renault was actively working on. So there's something there. And the team in the engine facility is very upset, obviously, that they're not proceeding with it. So maybe this is an opportunity where GM said, keep them working. We will buy the IP to it and we will run it. Right, so it minimizes the work that GM has to do, gives them a leg up because this work has already started. So whatever GM has been working on in the background can now funnel into it and they can make it a homologated product.
Mm. And we'll see in 2028, Andretti with Infinity. I'm just joking, but like how Red Bull used to be, like Infinity, Aston Martin, all those millions of badges. You know what I mean? Like
it. Yeah. Well, and that's effectively what it is, right? Because it's General Motors, but it's going to be badged to Cadillac. Mm. But this is one thing I don't understand. GM's motorsport division largely is Cadillac, except for Corvette. So GM is focused on trying to spin off Corvette as its own brand. But everything that's not Corvette, that is motorsports, is Cadillac. But Cadillac as a brand is going electric.
By 2030 or something like
before
that?
Before that. So, yes, they still make internal combustion engine vehicles now, but that is their plan has always been to start scaling back and producing more EVs for Cadillac to be the high-end luxury base for their EV platforms. Like, they've got the Cadillac Lyriq. That was one of the first EVs they've put out in their new platforms, because people who buy luxury cars are more likely to pay a higher ticket price, drive less, and change vehicles more often. So not have to deal with the long-term warranty downsides. It's a very common approach in the automotive industry to get new technology in. You start at the high levels because it's less exposed. So that's what Cadillac's focusing on, which is bizarre to me why then all of their motorsports projects are Cadillac projects.
Just because you're going electric in your day-to-day sales doesn't mean you still don't have technology for hybrids. You're still going to have engineering development behind the scenes in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And the work that's being done with battery technology, electric motors, recovery items like they're doing in F1 has a lot of merit to GM in its electric programs. Because we have to remember that hybrid vehicles are the combination of internal combustion and electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. So everything they do on the electric side of the hybrid is valuable to electric vehicle manufacturing, which is important to note as well. Their Le Mans entries are in the hyperclass category, which are hybrids as well. Mm.
And so, they do pretty well.
Yeah, they do really well.
Yeah, so this is not like a lame duck team. This is American engineering with Le Mans and in Europe is very good.
Yeah.
As much as we shit on it in North America, but yeah, go on.
So there is a benefit to doing it this way. It's just odd branding. If you don't look that deep into it, it's odd branding to see Cadillac redoing all of its dealerships to focus mainly on electric vehicles, and then at the same time going racing with high performance gas engines.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that, but I don't want, it's not, this is not the place for it. So while you were talking though about Cadillac going all electric, I was wondering in my head, I wonder if Tesla, in all of their infinite wisdom and high stock price, will ever enter Formula One based on that logic in some capacity.
They don't have gas engines.
They will supply the battery, maybe.
Nope.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I wonder. Anyways, like, because the future for Formula One is they're trying to make it American and Middle Eastern centric. I wonder. Anyways.
Maybe that's a conversation for you and I to have off mic.
That's what I was thinking too. Okay, so we got off track a little bit there. I'm happy that Andretti's coming in. Any other thoughts on that?
No, I'd be happy to see it too.
There's how many? There's a provision for how many teams on the grid. I think we talked about the other day. It's like 14 or 16.
16.
Yeah, come on, 11 teams. Like, don't get so greedy to lose. Like what? It's 11%. If you add 11 teams, you're losing 11% share. You're dividing it, but you'll also get that much more sponsorship, that much more viewership by having another American team. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Glad to see it. You want to get into Vegas, or do we have something else we had to talk about?
I think let's get into Vegas, and there are news items from Vegas, but we will hit those as we come to them.
Okay. Yeah, so Vegas is looking like it's going to be a lot of fun. We talked about how much we love the track. It's going to be not a snowy race, but it's going to be cold as balls. And I think we mentioned it that Ferrari's Achilles heel this year might be their problems of last year. It's the fact that they had a hard time. Now they have a harder time getting their tires up to temperature because they fixed their long-term management.
Yep.
So, but last year it helped them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, where do you want to hit first in Vegas?
Temperature, I think, is a big one. So it was cold in FP1 and FP2.
Oh.
And they're forecasting that it may end up being the coldest race in F1 history.
Going to be like 2 Celsius or something, or 10 Celsius?
Practice, they were claiming it was 10 degrees, but apparently I think it was Will Buxton said his phone showed him 6 degrees.
But that could still mean track temperature was probably still 10 or something.
They were saying air temperature was 10 degrees, track temperature was 15, whatever it was. But
interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be cold. And frankly, I don't know how they justify racing at these temperatures, considering we go to Barcelona in March and everybody bitches and moans that it's 10, 12 degrees and that they can't get representative data. At this point, it's unusual, but it's not unheard of. It's already happened this year where you get snow in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So why are we racing in Las Vegas at this time of year at night?
Yeah, the schedule was very bad this year. And we know why they do it at night. They're trying to get the maximum viewership worldwide, even though they kind of fucked Britain.
And us.
Well, you and I can stay up till 1 a.m. a little bit easier than British people getting up at 6 a.m.
No.
I guess speak for myself, yeah.
I'm not staying up till 1 a.m. for anything these days.
That's fair.
And waking up at 6 a.m., that's my daily, so why can't the Brits do it?
It's on the weekend, Sean. They get to sleep in.
I don't.
That's fair. You know, if you're a father, if you're a man of parents, like if you're a parent of children, Man of parents, where'd that fucking come from? If you're a parent of children, it makes a lot of sense to have the earlier race instead of the later race. But I guess they can't have it at any point in time during the day in the desert because it could potentially be like 50 degrees.
But if you're going to race at this time of year where it's not 30, 40, 50 degrees, it's no different than racing in Bahrain.
Hmm. Which, well, they always do it. Well, they did the first one in the day, but... And then I think that was what scared them, the first one in the day.
Right. Or let's say Abu Dhabi, where it starts in the evening, right? It's still hot.
Yeah.
But it's late enough in the year that it's not blisteringly hot.
Yeah, they gotta fix the schedule for next year. But that this colder weather is going to... We're going to see a lot of first lap crashes, I think, is what you're getting at. Because people are not going to have the tire temperature right. They're going to misjudge the corner, take it too strong. We saw that last year.
We did. I think we're going to get another version of last year. They obviously know the track better. So we didn't see some of the issues in practice this year that we did last year. But we still saw turn 14. Pretty sure every driver was off there multiple times. Same issue. Coming in too hot. Brakes are cold. Tires are cold. No traction whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if we got into the race and you've got a nice rubbered in racing line and everything off of it is completely unmanageable.
So any attempts at passing is going to just destroy the car off the racing line, right?
Any attempt at passing will either be a complete Hail Mary and, you know, close your eyes and go with God.
You brought up that Red Bull has some issues.
Yeah. Max was down in P17. Allegedly, they brought the wrong wing.
Hmm.
I mentioned to you, I'm not sure. I wasn't able to read anything of whether or not it was a deliberate choice to bring that wing and then they realized it was wrong, or if they intended to bring a different wing and got to the track and went, holy shit, this is the wrong one.
Go on.
No, apparently there's 6/10 down on the straights.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable when you can close out the championship this weekend. You had 3 weeks to figure this out. 3 weeks to double check and triple check.
They can still close out the championship this week. All Max has to do is finish ahead of Lando.
Yeah, but you're assuming, like we're assuming now if they're 6/10 off the pace or 6/10 off of their potential, which was already not very good to begin with.
Lando didn't finish the race last year.
I was going to get to that. You can't expect that to happen again.
He doesn't look great.
Really? He's struggling during practice?
Yeah.
Interesting. If he DNFs, it's over, right? Like it's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If he DNFs and Max finishes in the points at all, it's done.
Yeah. I can see Max tiptoeing to finish the race in the points.
Mm-hmm.
Just to finish. And hoping Lando fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
Does the Mercedes actually look that good? Or is it just like a case? Because I think we saw this earlier in the year. I think I want to say it was Zandvoort or something. They would top the practice charts and then completely disappeared in qualifying.
Yeah. And that's what they were saying as well during the practice session, that they look great. The cars look good. They're hooked up. They didn't really show any big concerns, but we have seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're amazing in practice and then they make a change and it all goes to shit.
Well, it's because both drivers are very dependent on their engineers, so they give any type of input or they want one thing a certain way, they want to change one thing, they don't understand how it could fuck up the whole balance.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate to say. I've been pro Lewis all year this year, so. But it's still one of his blind spots. And we're not pro George, who also has the same problem. So, before we get into our predictions, there was some other news from Red Bull that you wanted to talk about with a certain driver situation.
I don't know that it's news. I think it's the same thing we've heard all along. And I simply mentioned to you what Christian Horner said in the interview with... Will Buxton and James Hinchcliffe. They were asking Christian about drivers and what's the decision and what's going to happen with Sergio. And Christian Horner started off by saying, Sergio's our driver. He's got a contract for next year, and he knows what he has to do. Okay, that's a good statement from Christian Horner, given that everybody's been on him for not supporting Sergio the last few weeks, having some less than ideal quotes in the news. But then he turns around when pushed by Will Buxton to say, what's the criteria? Is it slipping back to third in the Constructors' Championship? Is it being 100 points behind Max? To which Christian Horner very bluntly stated, we have four drivers who all have contracts, and they all know very well what the stipulations of those contracts are. Mm. And really, up until Australia next year, anything could change. So which is it, Christian?
Yeah.
Does he have a seat or does he not?
They're holding the cards close to the chest when he's 242 points off of Max right now.
Jesus Christ.
I just looked at it. It's 393 to 151.
That's insane. He's, what, like eighth place in the championship or something like that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
40 points down off of Lewis and George, like I said to you off of the microphone, that Lewis is complaining this is the worst season he's ever had, or one of the worst seasons. You know, he's constantly complaining about the car. Hasn't really been happy except for a few races. Won two. I think he did pretty good to win those. And he even said he wasn't sure if he was going to come back for the last three races after Brazil. Which I know is just Lewis Hamilton emotions. He's had a lot of them over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that, like, if you're 40 points off of that guy, might be time for you to step aside.
Yeah. And, I mean, we've talked about it before. It's, why doesn't Sergio just step aside? Not necessarily retire, but why isn't he out there looking for a seat in a team that actually wants him there?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he bragged about it. It's like, oh, two teams wanted to sign me. Then why didn't you like grab him with both hands?
Yeah. And this actually reminded me of something I saw today on Instagram. I don't know how factual it is, but if it is true, it's a pretty big thing that we need to discuss. In Brazil, somebody posted on Twitter or wherever, what are you doing to Checo? And a Red Bull mechanic responded to that message with giving him the same tools as Max. And one of Sergio's mechanics replied to that mechanic stating, why are you lying?
Huh.
Now, it's usernames on Twitter, and I saw that on Instagram, so I'm skeptical that this is real. If it is real, though, that speaks volumes.
Well, it would also explain why Horner hasn't fired him yet, because they know what they're doing to him.
Yes.
They know that he's the scapegoat for their problems.
Yes.
Time is going to answer that question, I think, unfortunately. I would love to speculate on it. We have a million times. But I think the next 4 months, we'll know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I just don't want to hear about Sergio Perez for 4 months. I'd rather it be over.
Yeah.
Tell us he's got till the end of the year, but tell us he's not there in 25.
And that was something actually Bottas said. He's like, I'm just glad there's clarity.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Sergio would love to have clarity too.
Yeah.
Is Colapinto actually going to Red Bull?
Again, this is the internet rumor mill. Allegedly, the Argentinian reporter or influencer, whoever he is, I forget the name, that stated he was going to Williams to replace Sargent is now saying, without any caveats, without any speculation, it is happening. Colapinto to Red Bull. I don't believe it. It would be a very bad decision.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. The Red Bull's the experienced team, not the rookie team. Can we think of one rookie that has gone to Red Bull? No.
Alex Albon.
Oh, yeah. That is a good point.
4 or 5 races in. So similar to what Colapinto will have been. How did that end?
Yeah, not well. And now they're together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've given my thoughts on it a million times. And I think you heard in my solo rant, I made the quip, which I'm not anti-Colapinto at all, but I made the good, not special quip about him.
Yeah. No, and I think that's accurate.
I think it was just funny that because of what he said to Mick. I was being defensive of Mick. I'm just saying, like, there may be something special to Colapinto, but he's not going to find it at Red Bull in the second car behind Max Verstappen.
No, it's going to destroy him.
Exactly. Yeah, time will tell us with that. Anything else you want to talk about in Vegas? Any other news on your mind before we give our predictions?
The V-carb looks like the old Salvers.
Ew. Like the...
you know, that like teal blue... The old Red Bull Salvers.
Oh, shit.
Like the Raikkonen...
That Sauber.
Yeah.
The Raikkonen in 2001 Sauber. I like that.
And apparently the Red Bull logo is in the exact same spot as it was in those cars. So someone knew what they were doing.
That's a throwback to that Sauber team was a badass team.
It was.
That was the Johnny Herbert, Kimi Raikkonen. Who else was there? Alex Wurz.
Mm-hmm.
Like just random, like badass drivers.
And was getting podiums.
From time to time, yeah.
Yeah.
But also different time, as we've mentioned before, where sometimes 6 cars would finish the race.
Yeah.
They'll always have Monaco 96. Ligier won. I think it was Ligier first with Panis. Who was second? It was a rando who was in second, and then Herbert in the Sauber in third. I don't even think he finished in third. I think he was still a lap down or something like that. Something stupid. Mm-hmm. Still great. In the comments to all of our 1 million subscribers, put who finished second in 96 Monaco. Anyways, let's give our predictions.
What do you think, Nick?
Before you told me all that news about Red Bull, and I said it solo, I thought Max was going to win it. Based on the, like I said, with the Schumacher documentary, when you start driving with the freedom, you win races out of nowhere. But now I'm not sure. And now I'm going to my original thought 3 weeks ago, which is that we may see a big clusterfuck of DNFs and a random winner.
It's possible.
So I'm basically destroyed in the fantasy. By the way, I looked at my fantasy. I forgot to replace Ricardo the last 3 races.
Same.
Ugh. Lost a lot of points, let's just say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm basically fucked in the fantasy. I'm fucked in our predictions this year. I don't think I've gotten any good weekends.
Have you used your limitless chip?
I've used them all.
Yeah. See, I've kept the limitless chip, so I've gone balls deep this week.
Oh, shit. I peaked too soon. I did use it on a weekend, though, where it was like a Max Lando 1-2 or something. I think it was Singapore. Pretty cool with that. So, I kind of want to do a random winner.
Colapinto, call it.
No, I was actually thinking an Alpine. But because they did do pretty well here last year. Mm-hmm. And like in Brazil, a lot of the cars are going to have to slow down with the lack of heat in the tires. It might benefit them.
It might. Which, fun fact that came up in qualifying, Gasly has the lowest repair bill on the grid this year.
0.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But he's going to destroy it all this weekend because everybody's talking about it now.
Exactly.
So it's not Gasly. I, out of principle, do not want to predict Ocon first. So, you know, how about you give your five and I'm going to think about mine.
All right. I'm going to say Hamilton.
Interesting.
Because I think that pace is genuine.
Bold statement.
Followed by Russell. Why not? Lando. Max. Leclerc.
Hmm.
And maybe that's just me projecting because I want the championship to go at least one more race, get us as close to a, you know, an Abu Dhabi 2021 as we can.
Williams did qualify well here last year. Sargeant got seventh.
Mm-hmm. But it's not the same car.
It's not the same car. Fuck. Do I really want to predict Magnussen P1? He's having a late season resurgent. Like, I want a random winner here.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to make the most sense. Okay, you know what? Let's go tried and true. I'll give Lando a chance because he crashed last year. I'll go Lando 1.
Okay.
Which puts the championship another week as well.
All right. Practice 3 is now live.
Oh, it's going now? Okay.
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Fuck it. Let's go balls to the wall. Let's go K-Mag 2. Let's go Albon 3. Like I said, we're going random here. K-Mag 2, Albon 3. Let's go Ocon 4 again. Tried and true, like last year. And I'll do Max 5. I think he tiptoes to 5th.
All right. Nick is going for straight chaos.
I kind of wanted to put a Yuki in there. You know what? Take out K-Mag, put Yuki. Whatever I said K-Mag 2.
Yuki, okay, in second place.
Let's do Yuki second place. I forgot about him for a sec, so yeah.
If Yuki comes in second place after how they performed in practice, he deserves that Red Bull seat. I don't care if there are only two finishers.
If he can finish and only two cars finish, yeah. Finishing is going to be a big deal. Shouldn't have said it like that. finishing the race is going to be a big deal, I think, for points. My outlier, before I go P10, my outlier is sub-10 finishers. Why do I keep saying it like that? Sub-10 racers finish.
Are you not getting any, Nick?
This. Why would you guess that? And why would you be right? Anyways, what is your P10?
What is my P10? I don't like it, but I'm going to say Lawson. I think he ekes out enough for it.
Huh. I put Albon in that 5?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll go Hulk 10. All right. And what's your outlier?
Oh, outlier. Sainz hits another drain cover.
He's owed an apology for last year. Like the ridiculousness of that we talked about before we had this podcast about how they fuck up the welding. And then he still takes a grid penalty.
It wasn't the welding, though. That drain cover was welded shut. It pulled the fucking drain out of the ground.
So that's why they penalized Ferrari.
It pulled the drain out of the asphalt. It was shitty work by the team prepping the track. But it wasn't a welding issue. It wasn't pulled up out because it wasn't welded. It was just very poor asphalt on top of it. He still didn't deserve the penalty.
Yeah.
But the rule book states that if you're going to give them a bye, as in no penalty, because the circumstances are out of their hands, all the teams have to agree to it. So when you've got a close race, and I think Ferrari and Mercedes were fighting at that point, why is Toto going to say, yeah, okay, let him get away with it? When he showed genuine pace.
Ruined his weekend, though.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what Toto wanted. Mm-hmm. So what is my outlier? Let's see.
Snow.
It's probably not a bad one, actually. Mm. No. I'm going to say Paris and Lawson DNF together.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. But you put Lawson P10.
Yeah.
So one will be wrong.
But if you get yours as well, I can still have both of mine. If less than 10 people finish, Lawson can still be in 10th and get a DNF with Paris.
That is correct. The last two DNFers. I like it. It's bold.
Or, to get your Yuki prediction, they don't have to be the last two.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying like half the track DNFs the first lap?
Okay. Seen it before.
We've seen it before. If it snows, I think they have to red flag, right? They cannot race in the snow.
They're not going to race in the snow.
Yeah. That would be an interesting thing if it starts snowing mid-race.
They're not going to get enough snow that it's going to stick around, right? We see it here all the time where it snows overnight. The lawns are covered in snow. The houses are covered in snow. The roads are clear, right? There's still a lot of heat in the asphalt.
Yeah. We will see. And unless you have anything else to talk about, I think that's a good place to wrap it up.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, we hit all our points. All right. Excited for the race. I'm staying up to watch both. Qualifying in 3 hours. It's still really stupid the way they did this whole setup. Two practices on Thursday and then practice three finishes an hour and a half before qualifying. It's dumb. Anyway.
I will stay up to watch as much as I can, but realistically, I'm probably going to watch the back of my eyelids.
It is 10 p.m. our time. You will be up until 11:45, I think, max. I'm calling.
Probably not wrong.
Mm-hmm. F1_philosophy at Instagram, F1philosophy at YouTube. And please don't join our fantasy league at F1philosophypod@gmail.com because I forgot to switch my drivers for many weeks.
But for those of you that want to join, join now for next year.
And use that email to leave us comments. Tell us who finished second in Monaco 96, because I can't remember.
And at this point, send us whatever you want, even if it's death threats.
I'm cool with death threats. Dick pics, like we talked about with Horner earlier in the year, we do not want dick pics.
Based on your comments today, maybe you do.
Any action is good action. And on that note, good night, everybody.
Good night.